Good morning. Well, church, God has a vision for us. God has a vision for you. And what we are in His eyes, the way that He sees us, what we are becoming, has been the theme so far here in 2017. And make no mistake, the Christian life is not designed to be stagnant. Christianity isn't a store where you're supposed to buy really good fire insurance. It's a journey. There's motion. There's movement. It's not designed for stagnation. So last week, Pastor Joe talked about the fact that when we come to Jesus, we become worshipers. That's what we are. We are worshipers. And worship forms the foundation. But the journey doesn't end there. We're worshipers, then we move on and we are transformed, move on into transformation. Now, when I say the word transform, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind, boys, when I say transform or transformation? Optimus Prime, right? Am I right? We think of maybe the little toy, the cool little cars and trucks that we played with as kids that could transform from a car into, you know, some wild robot. Or maybe we think about a Hollywood movie where these things from outer space come and they're these cool cars that can transform into these robots that can fight and save the world from the evil forces. Maybe that doesn't connect with some of you, but I'm sure with some others of you it does. That's the first thing that came to my mind when I hear the word transform or transformation. I probably don't need to tell you that that's not exactly what we're talking about this morning when we use the word transform or when we talk about transformation. But there are definitely some parallels between the Transformers in the movies or the Transformers we played with and the idea of transformation that we're talking about this morning. For instance, why do the Transformers that we used to play with as kids transform? Why do they change? Well, the car, if you've got a Transformer car, the car, once it's transformed, is equipped to do things that it could never do as a car. The mission, the goal that Transformer has, requires more than a car. It requires something different, something more. And the same is true with us. The job at hand requires more than worshipers. It requires transformed Christians, people who have moved beyond just being worshipers, people who are equipped to do something more, to be more. Who among us, looking at the world today, could doubt that there is a dire need for God to step into this mess and to reach the hearts of people? I mean, there's so much pain. There's so much despair. There's so much injustice, so much sin, so much brokenness in the world today. How is God going to reach into those situations? How is God going to make a change in those people's lives? How is God going to make an impact in our world? You know, when's the last time that you saw God's finger writing in the sky and telling someone who's in a broken relationship what they should do next? Or when's the last time that you saw manna falling from heaven to feed somebody who's hungry and doesn't know when their next meal is going to be or where it's going to come from? When's the last time you saw winged angels swooping down and caring for a child who needs a family? You know, I have heard a lot about situations where God literally spoke to someone in through a dream or some other way to call them to Jesus, to tell them who Jesus is. I've been hearing a lot about that, but even that is rare. When God needs to reach somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ, when God wants to feed the hungry, when God wants to clothe the naked, when God wants to care for the sick and the helpless, He uses us. He chooses to use us. It's like the song we just heard. You're looking at all the hurt and all the despair in the world, and you throw up your hands and say, God, why don't you do something? He says, I did. I created you. God has an army to accomplish His goals. An army. And you're part of it. And I'm part of it. We're it. And the job is big. It's huge. And if we're going to be effective, we have to be more than we are. We need to be transformed. We can't be content to just sit still. And the Bible actually uses that kind of language. It talks about being transformed. We'll get into that in just a minute. But we also, in the Bible, we read a lot of things about, we read about discipleship. We read about sanctification. These are all essentially the same thing. It's different words describing a very similar idea. It all involves movement, change, going from one place to another. And the place we're going, church, is a place of greater impact, of greater effectiveness, of greater, deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. But you know what's interesting about the Transformers in the movies? They all needed a power source. And if you take the power source away, you pull the power source out, and they can't transform. They can't be effective. They can't do what they're designed to do. Because you see, there are two things standing in the way of transformation taking place for these Transformers. Now, I'm going to get semi-scientific on you now, so buckle up. Transformation is necessary. It needs to happen if the job is going to be done, but it's butting up against the twin obstacles of inertia and entropy. So inertia stands there and says that basically whatever the situation is now, it's going to stay that way unless an outside force comes in and forces a change. Transformation doesn't happen on its own. And entropy comes along, and entropy says there is a force acting on the situation, and it's a negative one. Stuff breaks down. The passage of time isn't your friend. Given time, stuff will fall apart. That's my rather unscientific definitions of inertia and entropy, for what it's worth. So you've got a car that's supposed to transform. It's supposed to be something else, but it's not. It's sitting still because it doesn't have a power source. It's just sitting there. Two things are going to happen. Number one, it's going to keep sitting there. And number two, it's going to slowly fall apart. How do you keep that from happening? You add a power source. You insert the power, and then the transformation can take place. Then it can change into what it's supposed to be. The same is true for us. It's the exact same thing for us. We will not become, church, we will not become what God desires us to become by sitting still. The passage of time is not our friend, and it only results in decay. So how will we be transformed? We have to insert the power. What is the power, folks? What is it that will allow us to go from being simply worshipers, which is great, but it's not enough? What is it that will allow us to go from being worshipers to being transformed into something more, into a person who could be effective in this broken world? Where's the power? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And remember, when we use the word sanctify or sanctification, it's the same idea. Jesus might just as well have said, "Transform them through your truth. Your word is truth." In Romans 12, verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How are you transformed? How do you move from what you are to what God is calling you to be? Take these two verses together and the answer becomes pretty clear. It happens. Transformation is free to happen when the power source, when the Word of God renews your mind, enters your mind and changes you. So what I want to do this morning is just get really practical with you about how you can get the Word of God into your mind, into your life, into your soul. And that, folks, is where transformation will begin. That's when you can start moving from just being a worshiper to being much more. So we're going to approach this idea of transformation from three different perspectives. And Scott kind of touched on this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to be building on that a little bit. So we're going to look at three different approaches to bringing the Word of God into your life and allowing it to renew your mind. Three different approaches. And all three are very important. You ever see one of those movies where the president has to make the difficult decision to fire the big weapon right? And so they've got to push the red button. Okay? You've seen this movie before? And so he or she's got to push the red button. But before they can push the button, they've got to throw a series of switches. Throw the first switch, throw the second switch, throw the third switch, and then you can push the button and it'll have its desired effect. But until you throw the switches, you can sit there all day long pushing the button and it's not going to do a thing. It doesn't do anything until you go through the steps you have to go through to make it happen. And sometimes I feel like we as Christians, we want to be transformed. We want to be what God wants us to be, I guess. But we're trying to push the transform button. And we're not willing to go through the steps we need to go through to make it happen, to allow it to happen, to facilitate the transformation in our lives. Transformation isn't like the easy button from Staples. That was easy. It requires work on our part. We have to do something if we want to see transformation in our lives. So we're going to look at three different avenues, if you will, and all three are important. So don't leave here today thinking that you're going to be able to push the transform button if you disregard two out of the three of these things. Embrace all three of them. Grab onto all three, and transformation will be free to take place in your life. And God will be able to work in your life. So, number one, personal. Number two, corporate. Number three, community. Now, there's going to be, if you were here last week, there's going to be some overlap with what Joe said last week, and that's okay. Where we overlap, it's because these ideas are important. So there may be a little overlap there. So first of all, one of the foundational responsibilities for anyone as a believer in Jesus Christ is to be in the Word of God personally. Now, that may seem obvious, but it's an area where many of us fall short, myself included. Different times throughout my life, I've fallen short in that. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Of course, a lamp only works if you take it with you, if you use it. Your flashlight doesn't do you any good if you go for a midnight walk and you leave it on the shelf in the house. You have to use it. It's got to be activated. So when the psalmist says this about the Word of God, the assumption is that he's getting into it. He knows what it says. He must know what it says if it's going to have any impact on the way he lives his life. And if he's going to know what it says, he must be reading it. He must be getting it into his mind. So what are you doing on your own time, personally, to get into the Word of God? And I'm not talking about here on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about this. This is good. But what are you doing personally on your own time to get into the Word of God? Your Monday through Saturday life. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And then the same sentiment is updated, if you will, in the New Testament. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Going back to Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." And you know, I'm so thankful to have grown up in a home where reading the Word of God personally was exemplified and it was expected. And I'm not a Bible scholar by any means, and there's a lot that I need to learn. But when I open the Bible, and when I read the pages, I read the words, it's like coming home. It's familiar to me. I've read it. I've read it before. And we need to be getting into the Word of God personally on our own time. And we have time for it. We make time for a lot of things. It's not that we don't have time, we just don't make time. And if we're finding that we don't have time to get into the Word of God personally on our own time, then something's wrong. our priorities are out of line. You know, if you want my opinion, I think there's value in actually picking up a literal Bible and opening it and reading it. I prefer the paper version to the digital. But you know, don't let that be a hang-up to you. It's okay. How many different ways are there today to get into the Word of God, to allow it into your mind? Seriously, I'm asking the question. I want you to tell me, how many different ways can we do that today? I mean, there's the obvious one, picking up the Bible, opening it, and reading it. But what else? Tell me. How else can we get the Bible into our minds today?
A CD in the car.
An app. Sorry?
Radio.
Okay.
Bible quizzing.
Awesome. We got a quiz later today. There are so many different ways to get the Bible, get the Word of God into our minds. There's no excuse for us not to be doing it. You know, I knew a man who was blind, completely blind. He showed me his Bible one time. It was a bookshelf. Because a Braille Bible takes up a lot of space, but the man knew his Bible forwards and backwards. There's no reason not to be getting into the Word of God today. And you know, I love Christian radio. I love Christian music. But you know, it's good. It's good for me. I listen to it every day. But getting into the Word of God needs to be more than that too. Listening to Christian radio, Christian music, even sermons, isn't an excuse for not personally getting into the Word of God and getting it into your mind. Carrot sticks are good for me. You know, it would be good for me to eat them every day. But if that's all I'm eating, I'm going to be missing some critical nutrients. So make sure that your intake of the Word of God doesn't just consist of Christian music or sermons from some guy you're hearing online or even here at Oakdale. It's got to be more. It's got to be you digging into the Word of God. And beyond just listening to or reading the Word of God, allow yourself to dig a little deeper. You're going along and you come to a verse that grabs you. Take a second. Look up that verse in your study Bible or do an internet search. Google it. See what other passages of Scripture are talking about the same thing and just dig a little deeper. Take some time and do that. And then meditate on the things that you're reading. And if you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about the book of Proverbs and reading Proverbs and how important that can be. And we talked about meditating on Scripture and how important that is. And that just basically means taking a verse, taking an idea from God and letting it roll around in your head and approaching it from different angles and seeing how it applies into your life. Meditate on Scripture. Interact with it on a deeper level. You know, it's possible to read words on a page, whether it's the Bible or a textbook or any other book. Maybe you've experienced this. You can read the words on a page without really connecting with them, without really engaging with what you're reading, right? We can't do that with the Bible. We need to be active and engaged with what we're reading or what we're listening to. And that's a huge part of having our minds renewed. That's where transformation starts. So that's number one, interacting with the Word of God on a personal level, hugely, hugely important. Secondly, you need to interact with the Word of God in a corporate setting. And no, that doesn't mean putting on a suit and sitting around a boardroom table and reading the Word of God together. It's not exactly what it means. No, you're doing it now. You're here in the corporate church setting, the big group. And you're here to celebrate Jesus and to worship Him and to hear the Word of God being taught. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Folks, for as long as there has been a Christian church, Christians have gotten together corporately to worship, to hear God's word, to serve together. We weren't designed for isolation. You know, the old saying is, no man is an island. And being a part of this corporate body not only gives you an opportunity to hear the Word of God in a different context, maybe in a way that you hadn't thought about it before, but it also gives you an opportunity to live out what you're learning with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And, of course, the personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ is of paramount importance. Nothing more important. But over and over and over again throughout Scripture, the Christian experience is presented in the context of the body. Christians are expected to be a part of a body. People coming together, all different giftings, joining together to produce the best ultimate results, to work together. So we've been talking about what we are in God's eyes, right? About what we are becoming, the way God envisions us. And I can't claim to know exactly what God is building in you, what God is building you into. But this much I do know. Whatever it is, He sees you in the context of the body. The transformed you that He envisions is a part of the body of Jesus Christ. And every part is important. If a part of my body decides to just be a Lone Ranger and go do its own thing, I suffer for it. That's not a good thing for me. Every finger, every toe, every muscle, every organ is important. And it's missed if it's not doing its job. The brain, for instance, is very important for two reasons. Number one, forming and cataloging memory. And number two, I can't remember number two. Sorry. My point is, over here. When God says that He wants to see you transformed, when He wants you to grow and transform, by His word, by the renewing of your mind, the transformed you that He sees, that He envisions, is a part of the body of Jesus Christ. You will not get there on your own. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, I will not get there on my own. The transformed you is a part of the body of Jesus Christ, a part of the corporate body. Being here, this is important. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you're here because it's critical to your transformation, to becoming what Jesus wants you to be. It's critical. So, we've looked at the personal perspective. We've looked at the corporate perspective. What about the community perspective? Now, on the surface, corporate and community might seem like they're very, very similar ideas. And there are some similarities between them, but there are also some pretty significant differences. This corporate environment has a lot of really great advantages. But community is a smaller, it's more intimate, it's a more personal level of interaction with other human beings. And your interaction with the Word of God on a personal level is very important. What we can do here in a corporate setting is also very important, has some definite advantages. But your interaction on a more personal level, in a community level, in a more intimate way with other people, reinforcing what God is doing in your life, is also very, very important. You know, if we were a church of 25 people, there really wouldn't be a whole lot of difference between our corporate dynamics and our community dynamics, because we'd be so small. But in a church of this size, a lot of the care that we're called to have for each other, and the care that we want to be able to expect from each other, just isn't practical or possible here in this setting on a Sunday morning. It just isn't. Because honestly, I care about each and every one of you. I do. But if you ask me to tell you how many Sundays you've been here out of the last 3 months, I couldn't say. Now, some of you I could, but I can't keep track of what's going on in the individual lives of 300 people. I just can't. I don't think any of us can. That kind of caring and care, the personalized care, needs to happen on a smaller level, in a community of believers. I can be aware of what's going on in people's lives in a small group. I can provide that care. I can provide that support. And other people can provide that same care and support for me if they're part of that community. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. In other words, we need to be rubbing shoulders with like-minded people. We're better for being in those relationships. And the other people in those relationships are better for being in a relationship with us. That sharpening action happens in a smaller context than this, than what we're experiencing on a Sunday morning. So, Oakdale has a very active small group ministry. We have official small groups. They're recognized by the church. They're meeting regularly in people's homes. And they're not cliques. They love to see new people come in and be a part of the group. If the group gets too big, they can split into different groups. It's a dynamic thing. But we love to have new people involved. But they're places where transformation can happen. They're places where transformation can be encouraged and supported. And what God is doing in your life can be reinforced by people who know what's going on in your life. They know what's happening this week. And they can care for you. And they can support you and pray for you. And you could do the same for them in that small community in a way that this corporate body simply can't. So these small groups here at Oakdale aren't necessarily the only way to experience that community dynamic, but they are a great way. That dynamic could happen other places, but small groups here at Oakdale are a great way. So we want you to know about these small groups. We want you to be inspired to be a part of them. Grab one, pick one, try a couple, and become a part of a small group. Could those leaders who are going to be introducing their small groups go ahead and come up now? If you've talked to Scott about that, if you're prepared for that, go ahead and come up to the front and you say a few words about your group. Also, for anybody who's interested in small groups, there's information on the table, on the information table in the back that has all the leaders' names and phone numbers and when they meet and all that good stuff. And there's also, if you go on the new redesigned Oakdale website, the small group information is on there as well. Also, if you're interested in, if you think you might want to start a group and have this community meet at your house or somewhere else, talk to Scott Miller about that, because we're always looking for new groups to start. Darlene, are you first on the slate here?
Yes. Hi, I'm Darlene Yoder. I'm very sorry, Wendell. My husband can't be here today. He's not feeling well. We have a small group that meets every other week, weather permitting. We don't like to drive in the snow, some of us. And we meet in people's homes. We meet sometimes at the church. Lately, it's been on Thursday evenings. We're currently studying the book of Acts. And the strengths of our group are meaningful Bible study. We have a great time studying the Word of God and meaningful prayer. And we also eat well together, too.
Always a plus.
Yeah, gotta love good food. Hi, my name's Christian. My wife also, unfortunately, is homesick this morning. But we meet every, I have to remember if we change time sometimes. We meet every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. We get together at our house just here in Salisbury on Grant Street. And right now we're going through the Proverbs Challenge. So we try as members of our group to go through that every day. So on, you know, the second day of February, you know, reading Proverbs 2, but then I'm not even sure what this Wednesday is, but then whatever day that falls on them, we read that proverb all together, and we study it, we worship, and we pray together. So I'm another one that you could talk to if you're be interested in doing that. So
We're Dwight and Janelle, and we're both healthy today, so we're here. We meet every other Sunday. We're meeting tonight. We have a lot of kids, and it gets chaotic sometimes, but that's all good because that's who we are in life. And what we're studying is we try to do the scripture that was read. So the one today, the one we'll be doing tonight at 5 o'clock is Philippians 1, 3 through 6. And I just want to read verse 6. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And basically, everybody has that, and so we try to encourage each other that we have a good work. It's tough for me sometimes when I'm at work. I feel like I'm all alone in this Christian world, and it's good to have basically just a Christian family, brothers and sisters that are there. Nothing special, but just to be there for me and say, hey, we love you and care for you.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. So these are just three of the, I don't know if I should say many. There are quite a few more groups than these three. A few others will be highlighted in the second service today. And again, information on the groups is in the back or on the website. Talk to any one of these three guys. Talk to me. And we can get you hooked up with a group. And that would be awesome. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, God has a vision for you. God envisions you being more than you are. He envisions you being transformed. To be more effective, to be more impactful, to be something more than you are today. Are you getting into the Word of God on a personal level? Are you participating in the body of Christ? And just being here this morning is a part of that. Are you an active part? Are you part of a small community of believers, a place where what you're learning and what God is doing in your life can be reinforced, where you can grow and serve and worship together? in a community, more than just what happens on Sunday morning. To summarize, folks, the Christian life is a journey. We weren't designed to sit still. We're going somewhere. God has a vision for us. And I would love to see 100% of the people in this room engaging with every single step of that journey. And I can't wait to see what this church will look like when all of us are engaged and growing and being transformed. And I can't wait to see what God will do through you when you're transformed and as you're transformed. It's not a destination. It's a journey. I don't think you ever reach a place where you say, oh, I've been transformed now. No, it's not like that. It's a process. It never ends. But it's a beautiful one. Let's pray as the worship team comes forward. Lord, you see us here this morning. You see us right where we are, in our faults, in our weaknesses, in the troubles that we bring with us through the door. But you also see something else. You see something that maybe we don't even see in ourselves. And you see something that sometimes we can't see in each other. But you see something more. You see a transformed person. God, I don't know what that looks like. I know it's a process. I know you want to work on me. I want to be open to that, Lord. And I pray that the other people in this room this morning, that all of us would be open to that. That we would seek your face. That we would dig into your word and allow our hearts to be changed. Allow our minds to be renewed. Be transformed, Lord, into what you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.